You need to build capital in order to capitalize. Let's get it. I've been in your world. All right, what's up, folks? All right, so I'm feeling like a new man today because I got a new mic in the mail for this series here. And for those interested, because I'm always interested in wondering what people are using to record, what they're using to film, whatever tech people are using in any media. So I'm recording this podcast now with a Shure SM7B into a Rodecaster Pro by Rode for the mixer. The last episode was recorded with the same Rodecaster Pro, but with a Rode pod mic, which is not a bad mic at all. It can be had for like $100, so it's really cheap. But SM7B is renowned. But yeah, so this combo is, it's pricey, but it's so good. You know, with most mixers, you'll need to spend an extra $100-$150 on a cloud lifter or a FET head or some means to get a clean gain boost for the SM7B to be loud enough to be usable. But with the Rodecaster's great preamps, it gets the job done without the need for that. So that's exciting. And then, you know, its features are incredible for podcasting on top of that. Anyway, though, away from the nerd talk and onto the cash talk here. So to kick off this series, I thought it only made sense to start by discussing how to build capital. Having that little nest egg opens up a lot more opportunity to capitalize on. So I'm going to discuss a few different ways to do so in this episode here. And I'll start off with easier methods and then build up to the more difficult or more involved methods, all right? Before we do that, though, I think it's important that we discuss capital and just the general idea of capital here. So, because I think a lot of people, they kind of view their capital as their profits or spending money, and they can toss some of it back into the arbitrage and flipping. That's a serious bottleneck. You should set aside every bit of capital in the beginning. And invest it right back into your flipping and your arbitrage. If at all possible, don't spend a dime of it outside of your flipping. Like if you have $20 and you go out and you snag $100 worth of items, that's a decent flip. It's kind of about average in my hobbyist experience. You know, I've spent $2 on one item and turned $100 profit. Depends on what market you're in. But what I'm getting at is that kind of a flip should end up being pretty consistent. So therefore, you can take that $100 that you got, divide that up into $20 increments, and if you could pull off that same type of flip, $20 into $100, $20 into $100, five times with that $100, you now have $500. And it grows exponentially from there. This is a universal concept for all business. You know, don't spend your first dollar. Just keep investing that capital back into the business. And that's how you properly scale. Don't set yourself back, okay? And if you have the ability to just start off with $500 because you already have it laying around, then you're already in great position to start growing. But truly, I can't stress enough that when you're flipping, this is like the world of stocks or crypto. You don't just leave $20 in there to keep it growing and, you know, take your profits out. If you keep taking those profits out, I mean, you can, I guess, but it really stifles your growth if you just leave $20 in there. You're not going to be, your profits are going to be minimal. Your capital gains grow so much more rapidly the more you have to put in. So initially, just make sure you're getting into this as a side hustle until you establish enough to make it a main gig. That way you're not setting yourself up to where you have to rely on that, because you're just going to be setting yourself back and probably going to end up failing if you're taken away from your ability to grow. But you just got to make sure you're never in a position where you need to rely on that money. Outside of flipping, that is. It's key. It's huge. So it's important. I think a lot of people don't really realize that or don't have enough discipline to stick to that. But all that said, though, let's get into some of my methods to establish some capital, assuming you have literally $0 to put into this endeavor when it comes to at least the first method. If you have a little cash to toss in, which I think most listening probably have at least $20-$50 to just set aside and, you know, kickstart their arbitrage process. But these things can still be applicable if you have that situation, okay? It's just another way to make some money, especially because you can toss this money on top of what you're already doing, and you might be able to apply that. So method number one, and this is the easiest method, Craigslist. And I'm not talking, you know, look at things to buy on Craigslist. I'm saying on Craigslist, they have a section literally for free items, free things. People just listing items they're trying to get rid of for free. You know, a lot of it's junk, probably not worth your time, but some of it is. And the beauty is that you can just sit there on your couch or in bed combing through every day or two, you know, to keep an eye out for an item you can pick up and then toss on for Facebook Marketplace or perhaps eBay for a quick flip. Now, obviously, these will typically not be the most profitable, but given that the method starts at ground zero with no capital established, it's a beautiful opportunity for anybody in any situation. Like I said in the last episode, even if you have a negative bank balance right now, you can still get out there picking up future flips and be doing this process and not sitting around trying to get yourself out of that hole, you know, and just wasting the time that you could be establishing more flips and growing. There's really nothing holding you back. So I hopped on a Craigslist free section in my area to see what stuff's chilling on there right at this moment. But remember, this is a dynamic market. Things will be coming and going, especially things that are worth any type of cash, right? So you have to act pretty quickly and just be constantly looking. You know, I check Craigslist 3 or 4 times a day minimum, not the free section personally. That's probably my loss realistically. When I was coming up with these methods, I realized I probably should be looking into these every now and then just to see what, you know, kind of stuff is listed. But let's get to the stuff I found listed. So starting off with listing number one, this is like the first thing I saw when I pulled it up. It was a wooden door with 10 glass panels. It was like a natural wood. It was in perfect cosmetic shape. It looked like it probably could just be used still as a door. And it sounds like nothing really, but it's a slimmer door. It looked like maybe it was like one of two French doors. So you only got one of them. But crafters love this stuff, especially if you have the skill to paint it and distress it yourself. It could be a really nice flip. My fiance and I were looking for a few glass 4 or 6 panel windows for our wedding. We had some craft ideas for our wedding. We kept finding them listed for like $20 each, which was insane. Then we eventually found a lady who was selling them for like $3 each because we got to her house and she had a room entirely full of these things. I don't know why she had so many that she even had to pile them up outside. I think she was getting them to paint them and sell, but it didn't work out or something. But then, you know, so we picked up a few of them, and then not even a week later, we started, you know, now that it was in our mind, we started seeing them in bulk on the side of the road, you know, old windows that people were replacing, new ones in their home, because everyone was trapped inside due to quarantine, so everybody was doing home renovations. But we picked them up, picked a bunch of them up, and I made a greenhouse out of 6 of them for my fiance, for a front yard, a nice little greenhouse made out of windows. It's cute. And then I've even found enough. I made another one for her mom, and I still have enough to make 1 or 2 more just sitting out in my garage. And these greenhouses are super easy to make, and they could probably turn about $100 profit just looking at them. Or the windows alone can be sold for profit. So especially the old ones, you know, that aren't good for a home anymore, and they have paint chipping off and stuff like that. But that's the kind of like patina and rustic look that crafters and, you know, people decorating their home are typically looking for. So that was perfect for that. So if you see some windows on the side of the road or a door or whatever, grab it and either sell them straight up or do some simple work to them and, you know, make them even more, like I said, painting and distressing them, things like that. I also found a very nice looking storm door, one that actually looks like it could be sold for utility, like actually be used, because it was still in the door frame in the photo. It looks like they must have been just replacing it for a different style, but it was like a solid metal black with a window. It looked really nice. But so that type of stuff can be flipped for easy, quick cash, especially if you're a little bit crafty. And then the second listing I saw several mirrors, listings just for mirrors, basic mirrors on the wall. You can grab them and sell them for like $10 each. Someone will probably buy them. Not a big deal, but you know, just something not worth overlooking really. Third listing, I found a 50-gallon fish tank or turtle tank. They said, the description said it just needs cleaned, but it doesn't leak at all. It works perfect. So I'm not really familiar with this market, but I have to imagine it's worth a bit, like $50, maybe more. I don't know. It's gotta be worth something for free though. Listing number 4, was a stainless steel grill. The description said it was missing one of the wheels, which it did. It had like a couple 2x4s in the front right corner of it to hold that corner up. But it said otherwise it's in perfect working order. And that thing was a Kenmore grill. It looked in great shape. It looked like it was just bought from the store, all stainless steel. It was really nice looking. So I imagine that could be sold for like $50, especially if you can toss a new wheel on it, if you have that know-how. that type of stuff. Having the ability to touch things up or fix things up makes a big difference in this type of world. So, and then listing number five, somebody was listing a bunch of vinyl records for free. They might sell for like $2-3 each, but that adds up. And someone might have a decent record worth $20 or more, and they didn't realize it or, you know, care enough to sell it. They're easy to ship, easy to store, and you can just have somebody come over and comb through them here and there and then leave with a few of them and just slowly get some decent cash out of it. So vinyl records, definitely worth picking up in my eyes. Listing number six, I found a working shop vac. Could be worth a flip. It said it was missing the filter and a hose. Now, the filters in shop vacs are really easy to clean out. They just take a minute of you actually like running through your fingers through every little slot, cleaning it all out. But I used to work not too long ago with a guy renovating homes, and he had his shop vac for several years with the same filter. We just always would clean it out, and it would get clogged up, and it'd be good as new from there. So, you know, there's a lot of people out there that think it needs a new filter, but you can just pop it open and clean it out. But otherwise, filters aren't that expensive, and a hose can be had pretty cheaply at like Harbor Freight or Amazon or something like that. So that could totally be worth a decent flip even after the overhead. So definitely worth considering. Listing number seven, I found some brand new wheel covers. They're the plastic wheel covers that are supposed to go in over your rim, look like a rim to your car, basically. And they were brand new in the package. They said that they just got the wrong size or something like that and didn't return them, but they could be shipped out pretty easily. That's a quick and easy flip, right? You could toss that on Facebook Marketplace and somebody might buy them. So definitely worth keeping in mind. And then, listing number eight was just furniture galore. There was tons of solid wood furniture, kitchen cabinets in perfect shape. A lot of people move into homes, they just don't like the style of the kitchen cabinets. They're in perfect shape. This is something I saw when I was renovating the homes, is people would get rid of perfectly good stuff in their houses because they wanted a different style. So you can find kitchen cabinets that could be upsold or, you know, re-upped, reused easily. A lot of the furniture listed, though, isn't in the greatest shape, seen better days. But some of it, definitely, I could see some people paying some decent money for. The major thing with this stuff is just having the space to store them, because they're typically so large, and it also a means of transportation. So, you know, don't be the guy asking the person to deliver them to you when they're already giving them away for free. That drives me nuts. But these are the factors as to why I save them for last. I typically avoid these types of things just because of the hassle isn't really worth it to me. But especially if you have a truck to transport them, like if you can deliver these items to somebody, definitely could be worth some money. If you put that in the listing as well, somebody looking for a couch, if you say, hey, you know, I can toss this in my pickup truck and deliver it to you today, someone's probably bound to toss $50 your way just for a drive. And that's just a few listings to give you an idea. And also, don't overlook figuring out when trash day is in a certain town or a certain area, and driving around the evening before and keeping an eye out for stuff that might be worth something. The main thing with that is, you know, like I said, keeping your eye out for windows, doors, anything really, realistically, bikes. You know, people throw away crazy stuff. There are YouTube channels predicated literally around just, he goes out early in the morning, though, which it's not really worth that effort to me because I don't live in a major city or anything like that, or a rich neighborhood, right? I could hit those areas up early in the morning and probably make a killing, but he just does that stuff, scraps metal that he finds and repairs certain things, and he makes really good money just picking stuff off at the curb and then reselling it. But when it comes to this stuff, like the Craigslist, the curb, the main thing is to consider is your mindset, right? People are giving these items away for free, and there's typically a reason. So you can't go in expecting to land working PS4s and nice, you know, current OLED TVs. Your mindset has to be realistic. But if you can turn a quick $20, $50 off of a free item, that's nothing to scoff at, you know? And certainly a way to start getting into some retail arbitrage and flipping, or just free money along the way while you flip, you know, just adding to the pot, right? So on to method number two, though, and that's starting small. So this is a little outside the idea that I was talking about before, starting with $0, but rather just starting out smaller, you know, flipping $1, $2, even 25-cent items, right? for more money and scaling from there. If you don't have a ton of capital established, but you're willing to, you know, walk in with 20 bucks ready to roll, like I said, you know, 20 bucks you can easily flip for $100 worth of items if you educate yourself on some markets. Whether that's one big flip, which I have to say I don't entirely recommend from the start. You know, if you're walking in with 20 bucks, I don't recommend just making one purchase for 20 bucks with that unless you're confident in that item. Because, you know, over time you'll figure out what sells, how quickly it'll sell. Because if it takes a year, 2 years to sell an item, that really hinders your ability to get rolling, right? So, you know, or if it's just, you know, 20 individual items that you got, you know, $21 items that you can flip for 100 bucks, it still achieves the same money. You know, just it might involve packaging up a few more items or listing a few more items. You know, if they're paying shipping, it's the same money, you know. So don't start off strictly looking for home runs, though. You know, if you can quickly flip a buck to $5 and that can make a difference for you getting going, get after it. If you're in a position to be flipping $5 items for $15, you know, do that. But if you can learn some markets, you can focus on, you know, flipping $2 items for 20 plus, you know, especially in the world of like video games, DVDs, things like that, and then roll from there. But I think mindset is a huge factor. It's not uncommon to go hit up 4 or 5 stores and come home with nothing. You have to walk in knowing this may happen and just start afresh tomorrow or next week, still having that ambitious mindset ready to get out there. You know, you have to realize that your mindset could cause more of these days if you're not out there, you know, with an ambitious mindset, ready to look for everything. All right, so that's, you know, pretty straightforward. Start small. Method number 3, I call shop from home. I do this quite often. I just go, you know, through my office or around the house, start digging through some stuff that I haven't touched in a while and just start stacking up a pile of stuff to list. I collect a lot of random collectibles and such. So this tends to be, you know, some pretty decent money when I choose to do it. But if you have, you know, some old Pokemon cards or Magic the Gathering cards or anything collectible laying around in a closet somewhere, especially if you haven't looked at them in like 10 years, go find them, bust them out, and start looking through eBay, you know, searching them one by one, because, you know, a lot of cards aren't really worth anything. But if you have a Chase card, you could be sitting on hundreds of dollars, you know. But do consider condition, though. With trading cards and collectibles, condition is a huge factor. But like I said, you might have hundreds of dollars laying around that you can flip and you won't even miss it because it's been laying around anyway. But on the same token, if you're serious about getting this side hustle rolling and you've got an Xbox or a PlayStation and you think it's worthwhile to get rid of that and sell that just to give you some starting capital to get this going, and then you can pick one up later on when you're rolling, definitely consider that as well. You know, it's all about your willingness to sacrifice, right? And then method number 4 here, save. So here comes your mom and dad ready to hit you with it straight. You can simply just start saving money from your day job to establish some capital, right? Who would have thunk? Or just use some of the money from your day job to start buying stuff to flip, things like that. You don't have to like necessarily set it aside. If you're out and about and you see a decent deal on something, just pick it up and then, you know, bring it home and list it, you know, put it up. You know. But it's an old-fashioned, tried-and-true method, you know, saving money. But seriously, just sit down and start jotting down some things that you spend money on throughout the week and consider some of those things that you might be able to cut out and set that money aside. You know, start packing a couple sandwiches for lunch instead of going out. Skip your morning coffee and just brew it at home instead. Revisit some older video games that you got lying around instead of buying new ones. Your situation is your situation. I don't know it, you know, but don't be afraid to get creative with your budget if you have to. This is something worth doing even if you're already good with money, right? The more money you can set aside to throw at this, the better. You know, budgeting is useful for all shapes and sizes. I recommend it even if you're not trying to do a side hustle. Just sit down, find some sacrifices that aren't going to be big sacrifices, but they can help you set aside some extra money to start saving up. If you're looking to buy a house, you're looking to save up for a car, you know, whatever the case may be, sitting down and just having a budget, you can make some very minimal changes in your life that can make a big difference. And, you know, most people, when they start jotting things down and adding it all up, you know, actually establishing a budget or looking at what their current budget looks like, they get astonished at some certain areas, especially like when it comes to eating out. If you can, you know, just cook some food at home, or, you know, just pick up some cheap things from Aldi or Save a Lot for home, you can save a ton of money. And then, like I said, the coffee, that's the one everybody always talks about, but it does add up pretty quickly. When you're buying a $3 coffee every day for a month, do the math. It adds up, you know. So that's my fourth method. You know, all that said, these are just a few methods. It's just four quick methods to start off with. And obviously, I focus more on the free section of Craigslist because I think it's an awesome opportunity for $0. And I really don't think many people consider it. Or they're just not really interested in, you know, grinding or hustling like somebody listening to this podcast might be. And this whole arbitrage world is about finding opportunity where others may be overlooking it and capitalizing on that. And now you got some established methods to get rolling and get some capital and capitalize in the future. So, you know, these solo podcasts here, I guess I'm aiming for 20 to 30 minutes. They're going to be pretty straightforward because I'm not conversing with somebody here. Some episodes I might have more to talk about. Some might be a little bit less. My main idea is not to drag it out. It's more about just giving you some good tips, some good ways to make some money. So when I get some guests on here, though, and talk with them, I'm assuming it's going to last quite a bit longer. So you'll have some longer episodes in that case. But when it comes to these individual episodes where it's just going to be me talking, throwing some ideas out, I really am going to just try and condense it as much as I can, make it as quick and easy to, you know, display the ideas and the concepts to you, get you on with the rest of your day. I'm not going to necessarily drag it on. You know, if it was a more of an entertainment value podcast, I might be, you know, digging up certain ways to keep it rolling. But when it's a matter of just kind of giving you some information, might as well keep it short and sweet, right? So, you know, get out there and keep your eye out everywhere constantly. And do not spend that capital. Grow, grow, grow. Scale, scale, scale. You know, it's important. But until next time, guys, take it easy, and we'll catch you in the next one.